I agree with it. Compassion is a very difficult thing to talk about sometimes because, I mean, everything in the word sometimes is difficult to discuss because it's just so beyond who we are and because it's so much about God. But on the way in this morning, I thought, God, it is by your mercy that we are here this morning. It is, and I don't mean to be crass or anything, but it is by your mercy that you chose one sperm out of many and one egg out of many and united them to be me, united it to be you. How merciful of God that he knew you before you were born and that he would cause your birth by his choice. That's great mercy, great love. And then I thought, Lord, if my life was just so in the pit and just so far from you, of what I felt was a merciful you, if I had your word, that is mercy indeed. If everything was stripped away, if I lost my home and my family, knowing I had the word of God, mercy, mercy, mercy. And I said, God, if you took the word away to know I had you, a living, holy God that dwells inside of me, that dwells inside of you, that is mercy indeed. There's nothing more we could ask for, nothing more merciful than the tender, benevolent, loving, aggressive heart of God that pursues me wildly. I love that. It pursues you wildly. Anyway, the story I want to tell you, again, when I was probably 7 years old, my grandmother came over to our home, and she said, Marilyn, I'm going to pick you up tomorrow because there's some really important people, very important people I want you to meet. So, have your gloves on. Now, I'm old, okay? And my grandmother was French-Canadian. And so she had this very proper way about her sometimes. And you would never go to the city without gloves on. And I had never had gloves on in my life. But my mother somehow found a pair of white gloves. And my grandmother didn't drive. So my mother, the next day, dropped us off at the train depot, at the bus depot. And my mother combed my hair. And I had a dress on, and I put the gloves on, and we got on the bus. Now, the most important people in the world I knew were probably doctors. I don't know why, but they just felt like they were probably quite important people. And so I kept guessing, who are we going to visit? Didn't really have any other guess in my head. So my grandmother got me on the bus, and she said, now, before we go, let's stop for lunch. So we went and had lunch together. And I got back on the bus, and she said, it won't be much longer. I said, Grandma, who are they? And she goes, oh, wait till you see. Wait till you see. That's why you dressed up. That's why you dressed up. Because it would only be proper to meet somebody that you would honor dressed nicely, right? You wouldn't approach them dressed like this. You would dress up for them. So I remember this distinctly. Okay, it was just yesterday. And I remember where we were sitting on the bus, and the bus stopped, and my grandmother took my hand, and she says, this is our stop. And we got off the bus and went around the corner, and I was assaulted with the most foul, awful smells. Just made you want to lose your lunch. And my grandmother had taken me to Skid Row. Now, you would not call it Skid Row today, but that was what we'll call Skid Row. And as we turned the corner, I remember a man urinating on the parking meter, and I remember seeing people wrenching, vomiting, people laying over each other, and they were all over the street. And my grandmother, with a great radiance on her face, said, Marilyn, if you cannot love these, never loved Jesus. And she said, let's walk through. And she said, you never know. One of these might be an angel in disguise. And I remember holding my grandmother's hand. I was small, holding it up here, and walking and saying, hello, 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 as we stepped over bodies and dodged feces and dodged pools of urine and vomit. My grandmother set the course of my heart all my life for seeing people as having great value, great dignity. And I love her dearly for what she did in my heart. She set the course of the kind of mom I was for my children. Because where do you suppose, well, even before that, where do you suppose I spent my junior high and high school years? I spent them at the rescue mission downtown San Jose. Every weekend, sharing my testimony, like what kind of a testimony could a junior high and high school girl have? I had this to offer them. I had Jesus that they did not know. And they might have seen a young girl up there, but I had God within me. And I shared Jesus Christ, and we fed them food. I spent my years at juvenile hall doing Bible studies at juvenile hall, women's prisons, because my grandmother set my heart saying, if you can't love these, the least of these, you will never love Jesus. When my kids were born, I would take them to the park. And we would pack a lunch, because people often wouldn't take food from me, but they would from my children. And they learned to not be afraid of homeless people. They learned to not be offended by vomit. They learned to be able to walk around urine. And we were talking about this just the other day because I remember one day when Joshua was very small and Benjamin was a baby in my arms, probably the dirtiest woman I had ever seen physically came up to me. She was really in very bad shape, and her fingernails were so long that they were actually growing into her skin. And they were filthy dirty, and she really smelled. And if she was still here, she's probably not anymore, but I would recognize her face if I saw her across the room. And she came up to me, so dirty, but underneath this dirt was this sweet soul, and she said to me, and Benjamin was probably, I don't know, younger than that, maybe 4 months old. She said, can I hold your baby? And I said, of course. Like, of course. And she took, she took Benjamin, and she just held him up near her, and he just nuzzled in her neck. And she just rested in the glory of the moment of a child. And I thought, when is the last time this dear soul, excuse me, held a baby in her arms? Why not? Why not? If I can't love her and let her hold Jesus, why would I even want Jesus to hold my son? God has just taught me so much through that moment with my grandmother. And I think that's what mercy looks like. I think it's a much bigger picture than that. But I think the foundation of my heart is when God began to put that picture in my soul of what it looks like to be merciful. And I learned that from my grandmother. I've kissed the head of many men on a bus stop because it could be an angel in disguise. Maybe not. Maybe it's just the man that I see, but he has value. If God chose that one sperm and that one egg to be him, out of all of those, he is worthy to be seen and acknowledged. I'm so thankful for that mercy. And I think there's another picture of mercy, and sometimes mercy doesn't look like we think it should look, right? John and I were first married, it was 7 years before we had our first child. And I love kids. I'm crazy about kids. And I couldn't understand why God wouldn't give me more kids. I wasn't angry about it. I gave my life to God when I was 8. It's his. He can do with it what he wants. He can open my womb when he wants. He can close it when he wants. He can heal me. He cannot heal me. It is not mine anymore. It was given away when I was 8. So I said, God, if you choose not to give me children, then that's okay. It's not my call. 7 years after marriage, Joshua came along. And then 10 years after we were married, Benjamin came along. And I knew more would come. And they never did. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And God, you know, just, I'd be so excited to have more kids. And as you know, God said, of course I will answer your prayer. I didn't see it at the time. Of course I will answer your prayer. And in his mercy, he birthed my 5 youngest kids, as you know, in the womb of a woman in Russia. How good of God. See, I would have, if you see that as not merciful, God, why would you not bless my womb? You've given me this desire for children. God's mercy says, oh, Marilyn, I have blessed your womb, the womb of your heart, but I've blessed the womb of a woman far, far away. And in my mercy, I will bring those children into your life. Whoa, mercy, mercy, mercy. I look at my children, my five youngest, and I say, how merciful of you, God, to bring them here. Bring them from darkness to light. And the darkness they had to live in did not seem very merciful. But sometimes God lets us stay in the darkness because he has to wait for us to come to the light and put us in a home. I could not have done this in my 20s. Had five kids, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 14 suddenly in my home when I was in my 20s. Probably couldn't have done it in my 30s. Maybe not in my 40s, but at 53. I felt like five preschoolers into my family. Although, even though they weren't preschoolers, felt that way. But that's God's mercy, that he would take children out of darkness and bring them into light, even though it didn't look like mercy at all to them at the time. But it looks like mercy now. I see the mercy. So I encourage you in two areas. Don't decide what God's mercy looks like. That's his decision. Don't decide how it should look like in your life. It's not your call. It's God's call. But he is merciful, 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 merciful. And he's not a sissy. There is an accountability to his mercy. Without that accountability to the mercy that God has extended to you, it's just a good feeling. It doesn't change lives. There's an accountability to his mercy. And the other thing I would encourage you is to love the unlovely. They're lovely to God. They're quite lovely to him. Don't walk past them without seeing who they are. You could be walking past an angel in disguise. Let me just pray for you. Father, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, your love. We would not know you apart from your mercy because we could never enter your presence without a heart of forgiveness. How merciful of you to allow your son, your spotless lamb, to die for us. Great mercy. Father, may we not take it lightly. May we not assume that your mercy is always there. It is there, but it comes because of your compassion. And I think we have a responsibility to enter into your presence, longing for your mercy and longing to live lives that are right before you. I just think of the verse, and I think it was in our study this week, and it talks about your compassion on those who fear you. There is something about fearing you and mercy in your word that go together. May we have a high honor, a high calling for who you are, a great heart of appreciation, that the God of the universe would know us personally and that you would have compassion on us. Thank you for your aggressive, aggressive love. In Jesus' name.